This is the Wednesday, April 6th edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We got you covered with a variety of action, including the Masters. So sit back and enjoy. We'll get you in and out in less than 10 minutes.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. I'm Doug Kazarian, alongside Anita Marks. How are you, Anita?
I'm great. We're just like less than 24 hours away for the Masters, and there's so much excitement. There's so much energy. It's an exciting time, and of course, opening day, and we're close to the NBA playoffs, and I could go on and on. It's really, really a special time.
Really is. It really is. So let's start with the NBA. Obviously, a lot of moving parts in the final week of the regular season. Six games on tonight's docket. I like the Clippers here. This line's already on the move. They were underdogs. Now they're favored by 2.5. I'd lay it right now. Get that number if you can, because Suns are likely to rest a bunch of players back-to-back. They beat the Lakers last night. Franchise record in wins. Clippers playing much better with Paul George coming back. I just think we're going to see a lot of Suns rest ultimately. It's one of those things you kind of have to anticipate instead of react this final week, so I would grab that, and I do lean to the Knicks plus the 5.5. I just don't trust Brooklyn's defense. Obviously, I trust their offense, and 5.5's a lot on a back-to-back. It's not quite desperation mode for the Nets, so that's why I'm going to grab the points for the Knicks. I think they'll be really up for this game, and I'll even lay it with the Celtics, -6.5. I just think Boston is so good right now. The Bulls just got waxed at home. Give me the Celtics all day on that one. Any opinion on you?
Yeah, unfortunately, last night's Daily Wager, my best bet was the Suns over 123.5 total team points, and they fell short by 3 points. I really thought for sure they would take advantage of a Lakers defense that ranked 28th in the NBA. So a part of me, you know, and we talked about it before we started the podcast, just tread lightly right now, because we just don't know the mentality and the game plan for a lot of these teams who've already locked in their seeds. What seeding is important? Are they really trying, do they value putting their most valiant effort right now to get a better seed, or do they value more resting players, knowing that, you know, it's more important in regard to having guys healthy and ready to go once the postseason kicks off. So I think it's a dangerous time to wager on the NBA.
Well, or it could be a great time. It's a lot of narrative-based handicapping instead of, like, quantitative for most of the season. So sometimes if you can get ahead of it and anticipate, you can get some great line movement. And so, you know, to each their own, right? But, yeah, you can't just be reckless. You can't just be blind leading the blind, so to speak, and firing away. You have to understand how this week is certainly different. Okay, Masters week, as we alluded to earlier. I know you have a bunch. The only one I'm playing is Koepka. He's been so strong at Augusta. He's finished top. He was runner-up in 2019, top 10 in 2020. He's placed in the top 6 in each of the last 3 majors he's competed in, and he's healthy. He's good recent form, and we know he loves majors. So at 20-1, I do think there's some value there, and I'm going to play him top 20 -142.
I like it. Listen, you know, the narrative around Brooks Koepka is that, you know, he really only shows up for the majors because that's really all he cares about. He uses the rest of the regular season as fine tuning, and every now and then he'll win, you know, a tournament here and there. But top 5 at 4-1, top 10 at 2-1. I'm with you. I do believe that he makes some noise. Obviously, the biggest storyline here this week is Tiger Woods. And all indication is that he's going to tee off. He's got a tee time tomorrow, Thursday morning. I want to say around 10:15, something like that. And I don't mean to be the negative Nelly here, but you could wager that he's going to miss the cut at -115. Now, there's two sides to this, right? Like, I'm texting with a lot of the caddies that I know that have been in Augusta for the last week, and they've seen Tiger on the range, and they said that he's hitting the ball so pure and the best that he's ever, like he's hitting it true form Tiger, right? But that's not where my concern is. My concern is Augusta is a very hilly golf course. Now, we don't know physically what shape he's in. We know how horrific his car accident was. But just, again, the caddies that I'm texting, their apprehension is how is Tiger going to handle walking 18 holes in a competitive way? Weather conditions are not supposed to be great. It's supposed to rain all day today. So the course is going to be soggy. It's going to be wet. It's going to be damp. He's not going to get, nobody's going to get a lot of distance. And this is a very long course. So nobody's going to get a lot of distance off the tee. So your second approach shot is going to be anywhere between 175 to 200. And it's a lot of, you know, uneven lies. Really what's going to be interesting is like, okay, maybe he shoots Doug. Maybe he shoots us like a 72 or 74 on Thursday. How is his body going to respond on Friday? Sore, having to get up again. Now, he's teeing off in the morning, which means he'll get an afternoon tee time on Friday and go out there and you know, try to compete and do what he can to try to make the cut. So, you know, and again, I don't mean to be a negative Nelly. I guess it's a win-win. If Tiger makes the cut, it's great for all of us. It'll be so great to watch it on Sunday. If he doesn't make the cut, well, then I'm winning money at minus 115. So it's I guess in a way it's a win-win for a lot of people, right?
Yeah, it's the health component for me. I like you said, full day Thursday of walking all that. How's it going to react Friday? And the field is just solid these days, right? Like there's and I know it's easier to make the cut there than other majors because of the amateurs and all that, but I still think I'm not saying the field caught up with his greatness, but like it wasn't the same. It's not the same as it was back in the day.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I went back to look. Here are the guys who didn't make the cut last year, Doug. Rory, Garcia, DJ, Brooks, Kisner, Cantlay, Berger, Homa. I mean, you know, I get it. Like, you know, he's only missed the cut once. His record there is unbelievable. He knows this course like the back of his hand. It's his favorite course. It's his favorite tournament. Again, we're on the same page here. It's just there is a good chance he does not make the cut. And if he doesn't, yes, it will all be about health. And really, I think the deciding factor is how will his body respond on Friday to the round that he will play and walk on Thursday? I think that's going to be really the crucial factor there. Friday is going to be the line of demarcation, whether or not he makes the cut or not.
Right. All right. Any other plays for the Masters?
Oh, gosh. How much time do we have?
Not a lot. How about this? We have ESPN.com has our plays. Who do you have to win it? Who are you betting to win it?
I love Cam Smith. You need experience to win here. He's got it. Top 10 his last three starts. You know, he's won twice this season. He's playing some of the best golf. He skipped the Dell Match play, in order to get ready for this. He ranks in the top seven in three of the most important metrics to win here, and that's greens and regulation, par five performance, which is going to be crucial, again, because a very long course here in weather conditions. A lot of guys aren't going to get a lot of distance off the tee, especially the first 2 days, and putting average. So I got Cam Smith to win it at 14-1. I got Justin Thomas to finish in the top 10 at plus 150. I love a lot of top 20 guys. Willie Zalatoris to finish in the top 20 at plus money as well. Number one in strokes gained on approach. Again, that's going to be the most important metric here heading into this week. Corey Connors to finish in the top 20 at plus 160. Sungjae Im checks a lot of the metric boxes as well for me. That's at plus 210 to finish in the top 20. And last but not least, sneaky good play here is Brian Harman to finish in the top 30 at plus 160. He's a lefty. Lefties have an advantage here because of their draw. And whoever draws the ball well has an advantage playing this course. He tied for 12th here last year, and he's off to a really great season. He has probably one of the best short games in the business, and that's what wins it for you at Augusta. So those are just a few of my plays, Dougie.
Love it. Love it. All right. Good stuff as always, Anita. Great to be with you on the pod. We have the show later today. It's our final one of the work week, so we're going to have a long extended weekend. So hope everyone joins us tonight, 6 Eastern, ESPN2. We'll get you set for a bunch of action going into the weekend.